Blog Talk Radio.
Greek word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read me.
My name, King James Version, born in 1611. I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend. The quote was broke, but it ain't the way it be living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, open the Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Nam. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to come.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't wanna hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am. The saints' blood on their hands.
Government attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples I can still grind to remind them that the place they wanna be is still dying.
Bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power. I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails. Mortars the bomb. Seven plagues, seven seals. Vultures the swarm. Rage in the field. Soldiers, storms. The Cummins, the horns. You've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets so my creators can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked it, you was once sober. But you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster, come closer. Let me do my job like I'm supposed
Yo,
to.
Yo, there's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff sensey. But the saints study intensely, cause the rich is in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth a
penny. And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival. I'm here to strengthen God's saints, and the water's vital.
I'm the Bible, I'm the Bible.
I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible, I'm the Bible.
I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting them. I'm the number one selling book of all time. I done made billions, but if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
Shalom, 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 shalom. Good morning, Babakwa Tawab, which means good morning in the ancient Paleo Hebrew. Welcome to the show, y'all. I'm your brother, your friend, as always, Tazapa. I hope everybody is healthy. Hope everybody had a great weekend, a great Sabbath. Hope everybody's good, man, and in good spirits. I want to send shouts out to our brother schools around the nation, Kazakia and the brothers up in VA, Rochester. Quite the zop them down at H-Town, the brothers here in San Antonio, Texas. Our brothers also out in the Kirk, man, ABQ in Albuquerque. Sending shouts out to those brothers as well. They are all part of our umbrella called ISBHPK. We are Hebrew Israelites. Those crazy Hebrews, right? So we've been called on many occasions, but that is not the case at all, man. If it's your first time tuning in to the show, first of all, welcome to ISBHPK, Sword of Truth Presents Bible Talk. And I am Charles Apah, and we do this show, well, I do this show most Tuesdays. I apologize, y'all. We're in captivity, man. I had to work last Tuesday. That's why the show did not air. But here we are, man, back. The first time tuning in, I do about an hour of news, current events. Be on my soapbox sometime, I ain't gonna front. And then I get into the class, which is entitled Let's Stay Together, Dealing with Fornication, because we dabbled a little bit into it, got into it last week, but we didn't get to finish. Some questions were asked, which we had to go into and give some edification and understanding to before we can move on with the topic, which is all good, y'all. And if anybody has any questions, please either, because you could do it on the computer, raise your hand. We can address your questions, or you can just hit me up by text, 314-482-9110. Please do not call me while I'm doing the show, y'all. You can call me after the show is done if you want to ask me the question, you don't feel comfortable texting it or what have you, and we can do it that way. But I plan on getting into the class. I don't know if we're going to finish the fornication part because there's a lot of information dealing with that particular topic. Let me see. What else? Am I forgetting something? Oh, yeah, y'all. I'm joined once again by my wife, Hasadiah. She's going to be my reader for a little bit. She has an appointment she has to run off to here in a little bit. But she is definitely in the building helping me out with the reading. And I wanted to pose a question, man. Matter of fact, before I pose my question, let me get started. So let's read Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. I'm going to read that. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So this is we should be praying, because I didn't read the part before, but, oh, yeah, I did read the part. Yahweh Shai, who the world calls Christ, he said that when we pray, we're supposed to be praying for God's kingdom to come on earth, man. So what does it exactly mean, Dr. Fire, God's kingdom to come on earth? So when God's kingdom comes on earth, we ain't got to keep worrying about the letter people popping up all over the place, pushing their agenda. And I'm talking about the LGBT, all them people who I call the letter people. We ain't got to worry about that. We ain't got to worry about seeing women half-dressed looking like garden tools. We don't have to worry about those things in God's kingdom. In God's kingdom, we ain't got to worry about the molestation, the penal system, domestic abuse. Ain't none of that going on in God's kingdom, y'all. We ain't got to worry about being oppressed and being in captivity and punching the clock for subpar wages and just all the things that go on in this kingdom here now. We ain't got to worry about none of that. This is why we need to be praying for God's kingdom to come on earth, so we can get the hell out of this wicked, perverse, fornicating, monstrous kingdom, man. Get the hell up out of here. All right, with that said, let's get Psalms chapter 119 verse, 118 verse 24.
Psalms 118 and verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
So good or bad, happy or sad, Most High brought you to it. He's going to bring you through it, y'all. we have to accept whatever the day brings, man. Whatever the day brings. All right, y'all. With that said, I want to pose this question, man. And y'all can hit me up during the show or after the show. Matter of fact, no, don't do that. Yeah, wait a minute. Yeah, y'all could do that. Y'all could do that while I'm doing the news. I would be interested to get some responses to this question. My question is, why don't black women, their man? That's the question, y'all. Why do black women not support their man? And for you Israelites, I'm speaking specifically about the tribe of Judah. All right? So-called black women. So that's the question of the day, y'all. Hit me up, 314-482-9110. Text me your answers, please. All right, we're going to get into the news, y'all. So the first article I have is from NPR, y'all. And listen to this. Come on, man. Here we go. Read this for me. I am loud too.
This is from NPR. Released during COVID, some people are sent back to prison with little or no warning.
So that's the headline. So remember they was letting a lot of prisoners they let out of prison because of COVID. They couldn't quarantine. So they was letting people out, like, you know, who had misdemeanor crimes, nonviolent criminals. They was letting them out. Remember that? So now they sending them back. Read on.
Eric Alvarez remembered what it felt like to hear his fiance was coming home from prison. Overwhelming relief. Alvarez has heart trouble, and he struggled to take care of his four kids and his fiance's daughter through their long separation. When Eva Cardoza returned from the Federal Correctional Institution in Danbury, Connecticut, she shouldered a lot of burdens. She was doing everything at home. She was cooking, cleaning, taking care of the kids, helping them with homework, Alvarez said. More than 11,000 people like Cardoza have been released from federal prison in the last couple of years to ride out the pandemic at home, often with their families and loved ones. But that situation can be precarious. In June 2021, Alvarez and Cardoza took a 90-minute cab ride into the Bronx so she could meet with staffers in charge of her supervision. Cardoza, who had tested positive for marijuana, never came out of the building.
No. It says she tested positive for the ooh-wee, for the wacky tobacco, all right, which, of course, is a violation of her parole. And, you know, that's something I need to be educated on, y'all. How is it a violation of parole when is weed legal in New York, medicinal marijuana, and recreational? If y'all know the answer to that, please hit me up. Cause I'm not trying to justify smoking weed. So don't get it twisted, y'all. We know according to the scriptures that's unlawful. That's demonic. You open up pathways and gateways for spirits. That's something we've been doing. Ain't nothing new under the sun, man. But this is what she got violated for. Burrito.
Alvarez ended up forking out $433 to cover the hours the taxi meter ran as he waited in vain. Cardoza's return to prison turned the family upside down. She's now been back at Danbury for 14 months.
Now, this article is pointing her out to be the victim, but she's really the culprit. Yeah, her family's got to do without her. Her husband's got to full slack dealing with five kids, and he got health conditions. But why couldn't you just stop smoking weed? You know what I'm saying? Why couldn't you just put the ooh-wee down, man? This is the problem with our people, man. But read on.
Alvarez said she never got the chance to explain herself or challenge that single positive drug test.
To explain herself or challenge it. You know, Michelle was put together a beautiful series of classes going over how Israel just wants to do what they want to do and don't want to be told nothing, man. And this is the problem with our people. And this is why people say that the Israelites is crazy, because we practice self-control. We practice restraint. Why do we practice self-control and restraint? Because the Bible tells us so. The Bible tells us this is how we need to operate. I mean, think about it. What if you left the crib and you got young kids or just kids in general, teenage kids or whatever, you just left them at the crib with no supervision for a whole week with no instructions? What would happen? You'd be lucky if when you came back to the crib, your damn house wasn't burned down. They have all kind of stuff going on. Because why? There's no structure. There's no order. There's no rules. In any arena, you have to have structure and rules. This is the thing our people hate. This is why she got sent back to prison. Read on, though.
That's just mind-boggling to me, Alvarez said. Where is the judicial system? Where is the fairness? Where is the 50-50? I don't see it.
And then we're the first people crying, we're the victim. We always the victim. We didn't do nothing. We're innocent. The scripture said, whoever perished being innocent.
Then 0.2% of the people released committed new crimes while they were out. This week, the Bureau of Prisons told NPR that 442 people who were released during the pandemic have now returned to prison. Only 17 people out of more than 11,000 who were released committed new crimes, mostly drug-related ones.
Mostly what?
Drug-related ones.
Our people, man. Trying to escape reality. Trying to escape bad decisions that they made in life. And when we offer them the Bible and show them we're in the Bible, and this is the solution to all your issues. This is the medicine. They don't want to take the medicine. They like the kids, you know, with that nasty cough syrup, with the tussin. They spitting it out. Don't want to take the medicine. This be our people, you know.
While they were out, more than half, some 230 people, including Eva Cardoza, got sent back for alleged alcohol or drug use. Other cases involved technical violations. Sakura Cook of the racial justice group Color of Change explained what that means. It could be as simple as failing to answer the phone when your probation officer calls you. It could be as simple as the ankle monitor giving an incorrect signal about your location, Cook said. Cook has personal experience with that last problem. A relative recently left federal prison on home confinement only to get an ankle monitor that didn't work.
Now, you see how Esau, the so-called white man, would get you in his trick bag? And, man, once you get in the system, you a two-piece, man. But our people really don't thoroughly consider this when they trying to sell drugs, when they trying to do drugs, or just when they trying to do crime in general, man. You know.
Fortunately, she said, the probation officer understood the situation. Kevin Ring advocates for people in prison and their families at the group FAMM, F-A-M-M, formerly known as Families Against Mandatory Minimums. In a normal circumstance, somebody who violates the terms of their home confinement is sent back to the halfway house or to prison. But the stakes are much lower, Ring said. They're only going back for a month or two. But some of the people released from prison under the bipartisan pandemic legislation called the CARES Act have years remaining on their prison term. Is it really worth sending people back for years because they missed a phone call or they had alcohol in their urine? Ring asked. Hoping for due process as the judge rules, the current procedures are unconstitutional. Most of the monitoring of people on home confinement is being done by private contractors.
Wait a minute. Can you read that part again?
Most of the monitoring of people on home confinement is being done by private contractors.
This is the industrial prison complex. They're getting paid for putting people in jail. So, of course, they lost a lot of money during the pandemic because they let their money people out of prison. So they got to get them back so they could get their revenue back up. Y'all see how this is a business, y'all? y'all don't see how you're helping your enemy by breaking their laws that they set up? It's a trick bag. Read on.
Said Quinnipiac University School of Law Professor Sarah Russell. There can be a lot of room for miscommunications and misunderstandings, Russell said. Russell said that's all the more reason to ensure due process rights for people at risk of being sent back.
Yeah, and that's all the more reason not to do damn crime. That's what it basically is. Let's get Isaiah chapter 42.
Isaiah 42 and 21. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake.
The Most High is pleased for his righteousness, not our righteousness. You know, it tells you in Romans chapter 10 that we have not submitted, or it says they have a zeal of God but not according to knowledge. And it says that because we have not submitted ourselves to the righteousness of the Most High, we go about to establish our own righteousness, to establish what's right to us, to where we live by our own rules. And we come up with stuff like, I got the right to be angry, when the Bible says that anger rests in the bosom of fools. It's my God-given right. I'm going to tell my truth. That ain't what the Bible say, fool. That's coming from your mind. That's coming from your perspective. That's coming from what you deem is right. And then you're wondering why you got all this turmoil and drama in your life. Because you're living by your rules instead of the rules of the Father. Read it again.
The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake.
He's pleased for his righteousness, not ours. Because we ain't right, not by a long shot. Read.
He will magnify the law and make it honorable.
He said he going to magnify his law. He going to put it in your face. He going to keep showing you that this is where you're going wrong at. He said, and he going to make his law honorable, meaning some that you honor and respect. Either the hard way or the easy way. But most of us hard-headed people, we prefer to learn our lessons the hard way. We got to get lumped all upside the head and have hard lives before we finally get it. Hey, man, we're doing something wrong. We need to change. Read on.
Verse 22. But this is a people robbed and spoiled.
It said we rob and we are spoiled. We like some damn bread. This place has really spoiled us, y'all. I got rights. This all dude talked about in the article. Where's the fairness? Come on, dude. Do you really expect the same people that kidnapped you, forced you to work for free for 400 years, displaced your families, caused you all these psychological issues and trauma, you really expect them to be fair? Why even put yourself in that position? Read on.
They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses.
They're what?
They are hid in prison houses.
Who could this possibly be talking about but the Israelites? Y'all go and check the stats. How many of us are in damn prison? They say it's one in every family, just like drug addicts. There's one in every family, just like sodomites. There's one in every family. How is that? That only pertains to us. We the ones in prisons. We make up the numbers. Read.
And they are hidden prison houses. They are for a prey and none delivereth.
They're for a prey. They prey on us. I grew up in the projects. So if you're unfamiliar with project living, most projects have concrete floors, y'all. Concrete. It's concrete, and it's like an indented tile type concrete, and it's shiny. They shined it up, make it look pretty. But the floors are concrete. Is it a coincidence that the floors in jail cells are made out of concrete? And those project rooms, those project living quarters are very small and cramped. You know, so I like the damn jail cell. What I'm getting at, y'all, what I'm trying to show is that the penal system has been set up for us. We're the prey. What's that Minister Society, when Rock said, Charles S. Dutton's character said, he said, the hunt is on, and you the prey. Yeah, speaking just from worldly knowledge, but did we know that that was actually in the Bible? We are the prey. Read on.
For a spoil, and none saith, restore.
And we are a spoil. A spoil is a treasure. You know the spoils of war? They look at us like a treasure, so they got to keep locking niggas up. Why do you think all the music, all the entertainment now is geared towards violence? The same cats that own the record companies own the penal system. They got it. It's a revolving door. If it ain't the penal system, it's the damn probation and parole system. It's all part of their trick bag. Read on.
Verse 23. Who among you will give ear to this?
Who's going to listen, though? Read.
Who will hearken and hear for the time to come?
Read on.
Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to robbers?
Question. Who gave us for a spoil and gave us over to those robbers? Who did this? Read.
Did not the Lord?
The Most High did it. The Most High did it. Because we are rebellious as hell. We don't want to listen. There's a scripture in Timothy that says the law is made for the lawless. Stop breaking damn laws. And do you know this is us? Because we couldn't keep God's law. So what makes you think we can keep America's laws? Read on.
Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned?
Why did he put us in prison houses? Because we keep sinning. Read. We keep breaking his laws because that's what sin is, y'all. 1 John 3 and 4. Sin is breaking God's laws. That's transgression of the law. Read.
For they would not walk in his ways.
You see? Read.
Neither were they obedient unto his law.
And we still ain't obedient, man. We still run around. Give me Isaiah 61, verse 1. We still run around doing us.
Isaiah 61 and 1.
I had to show my kids, man, on YouTube about the Chicago drill music scene. If you're unfamiliar with it, man, it's horrible. They got a whole documentary on it. So what drill music is these young kids are making songs about killing people, murdering people in the songs, and then they actually go out and do it. Or they'll do it and then make the song. They're popularizing murder. Hold on. All right, somebody respond. Somebody has something to add to the question. We don't get back to the topic, but the question was, why don't black women support black men, their man? The black woman is envious of black men, as well as the Willie Lynch syndrome. Okay, I like this. Can you go into more detail when you say the black woman is envious of the black male? All right, so why are they getting that together? Let's go to Isaiah 61 and 1.
Isaiah 61 and 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me.
Now, listen to this. Read.
Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek.
Good what?
Tidings.
Good tidings unto the meek. Now, hold this. We're going to jump. Let's get Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Now, I want us to focus on the word good tidings.
Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth,
Go on to verse 18. He is talking about Christ, y'all.
Luke 4 and 18. Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
So this is when Yahweh Shai was in the temple, and they handed him the book of Isaiah. And he read the very same thing we're reading now. Read.
Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.
He said he's anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor. Now remember Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1, it said good tidings. So in Luke, he's saying it's the gospel. The gospel, good tidings, all the same thing. What does the gospel mean, y'all? Good news. So let's go back to Isaiah chapter 61. And read again from the top. It's the same thing he said in Luke, y'all.
Isaiah 61 and 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek.
So the Most High has anointed him to preach good tidings or good news to the meek. So what is the good news, Reed?
Sent me to bind up the brokenhearted.
The good news is when Christ comes back, y'all, he's going to bind all of us who have a broken heart. The heart is talking about the mind. So everybody's mind is broken. Everybody that's going through a depression, everybody that's going through mental anguish, everybody that's finding it hard to cope, hard to deal. So you ain't got to try to be self-medicating no more. This is what Yahweh Shai, Christ, is coming back to do. To bind up the brokenhearted, read.
To proclaim liberty to the captives.
To proclaim liberty to the captives. Us. We're in captivity right now, y'all. Read.
And the opening of the prison to them that are bound.
And he's going to get all of us out of those prison houses. That's the good news. That's the real gospel. It ain't just those, what, four or five books? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It ain't just those books. This is the real gospel. Us being delivered from captivity. I want us to understand that, y'all. All right, we got another response to the question, why don't black women support their man? It says, women liberation is a big part of why the black woman doesn't support the black man. I agree with that. They have been programmed to not need a man, and they can do it all on their own. Nice. I agree with that. Yes, I agree with that. Wow. We can go so many places with this. Keep them coming in, y'all. Keep them coming in. I'm going to keep moving on through the news, though. But keep those responses coming in. And I know that was you, Devin. I know that. I don't know who the 505 is, if it's a brother or sister. But I definitely want to get some sisters' responses, some women responses. So let's get the next article there. Read that and tell them where you're reading from.
From NewsNationNow.com, Vitter, CDC admits its failures, but where's the apology?
Oh, y'all hear that? CDC admits they failed, but they still won't apologize for the failures. Read on.
The Center for Disease Control has finally admitted failure. For 75 years, CDC and public health have been preparing for COVID-19. And in our big moment, our performance did not reliably meet expectations, said CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky while announcing a CDC reorganization Wednesday. Walensky's statement is admirable, but it's an acknowledgement of only half of the problem. Not only did the CDC fail, but anybody who disagreed over the past 2.5 years got labeled a tin hat-wearing, disinformation-loving, crazy person.
Remember? Because they were even taking people's video, YouTube videos down for talking about the vaccine and talking about not wearing masks. They was coming at people hard, y'all. It was a anti, what's the word I'm looking for?
Vax.
Yeah, I guess it was an anti-vax movement going on. Well, not anti-vax. They were against the people that talked against the vaccine. So it was a campaign going on against everybody that was anti-vax. And like I said, they took a lot of people's pages down. They discredited a lot of people.
A lot of retaliation.
A lot of censorship. You couldn't even say COVID. You had to say the jab. Use cold words. Yeah. All of that, man. They ain't apologized for none of it, though. Read on.
That might be a bigger problem. My goal is a new public health action-oriented culture at CDC that emphasizes accountability, collaboration, communication, and timeliness, Walensky continued. Of course, that statement is also half a statement. The other half is, please don't fire me. We could do a whole show on the CDC's and Dr. Anthony Fauci's failures over the pandemic. But
now, y'all know I've talked about Fauci lying ass continuously throughout this whole pandemic. Even when he went on trial, which a lot of people didn't know, but he was lying on the stand. But go ahead.
But let's just do a quick recap of the things science told us that proved wrong. February 2020, don't need a mask.
Y'all remember that? When it first happened, don't need to wear a mask. Read.
March 2020, wear a mask.
Then they told us to wear a mask. Read.
May 2021, that don't need mask.
They said if you're vaccinated, you ain't got to wear no mask. People still catching COVID, right?
July 2021, mask mandates for all return.
Remember they made the mask mandatory again. Read.
August 2021, everyone needs a booster.
Oh, but people that was getting boosters still catching COVID. Still doing it. And they still doing what? Pushing booster shots. They still got commercials for it. And I hear them, I'm like, man, they still on that? And people dumb stuff and still run out to get booster shots. Still get vaccinated. And still getting sick. Read.
September 2021, CDC approves boosters for some.
Oh, yeah, right. Because that's when they said that some people could get it. Was it the kids? I think it was. I don't know. At this point, man, I'm so confused and really don't care about their vaccination campaigns.
I know what you're thinking. What about shutting down schools, which did more harm than good?
Mm.
What about masks for kids that made no sense?
You're right.
What about? As I said, we could do a whole show.
Let's get Ecclesiasticus chapter 12, verse 10.
Ecclesiasticus 12 and 10. Never trust thine enemy.
What does it say?
Never trust thine enemy.
The scriptures tell us not to trust your enemy. The so-called white man is, in fact, our enemy. You can argue with this. You can try to debate with this. But history is facts to back up this scripture right here. An enemy would not tell you that you're black when you're really a shade of brown. And then not only tell you you're black, put a negative, connotation on the fact that you're black to where now you look up black in the dictionary and it just means dirty, disgusting, and all just negative things and have you uncomfortable in your own skin. If the so-called white man is not black and brown people's enemy, then why would they put up all those, you remember you went to school and you went to biology and anatomy. What color was the dummy you was working on?
White.
White. What color were all the demos that y'all dissected or did whatever? All the charts, white people. That's psychological programming, y'all. I don't know if y'all know that. Telling you that you don't have a place in their society. A friend would do that. An enemy would do that. An enemy would kidnap you and work for free for 400 years. And then try to say, well, that wasn't me. That was my ancestors. And then go so far to write it out of the history book to erase their DNA and their fingerprints off the crime scene. And our people so ignorantly are marching for them to take down these Confederate statues and things of that nature. So there is no memory of it. So they don't have to live through their shame anymore. An enemy would do these things. An enemy would not have terms like redlining, segregation, discrimination, driving while black, racial profile. An enemy would not do these things, but we know who does do these things. Read the scripture again.
Never trust thine enemy.
It says to never trust him. So when he was coming with his vaccines and masks, we shouldn't have been what? We shouldn't have been trusting the madness. Read.
For like as iron rust is.
For like, listen to this, like iron rust. So I don't know the exact biology or what's the word, science behind iron rusting. But if you leave iron out, it's going to rust. Something in the air that meets the iron makes it rust. It's a guarantee. It's going to happen. I don't care if you got damn stainless iron, steel, whatever. It's going to rust. It's a guarantee. That's why they have stainless steel cleaner. It removes the rust. Iron is going to rust. So that's what the scripture is letting us know. Read this again.
Never trust thine enemy.
Mm-hmm.
For like as iron rusteth.
It's a guarantee the iron's going to rust, Reed.
So is his wickedness.
And it's a guarantee that your enemy is going to be wicked. It's a guarantee that the so-called white man is wicked as hell. And he does not mean brown and black people any good. Now jump down to verse 16.
Ecclesiasticus 12 and 16. An enemy speaketh sweetly with his lips.
And this is what enemies do. They'll butter you up. They'll speak those sweet nothings to you. Read.
But in his heart, he imagineth how to throw thee into a pit.
But in his mind, he's thinking about how to catch you up, how to trap you. Read.
He will weep with his eyes.
He'll try show you that fake remorse, like he really feels sorry for you. Read. But if he finds the opportunity to catch you slipping, Reed.
He will not be satisfied with blood.
Oh, he won't be satisfied even when you're dead. Kill all those niggers. This is who we're dealing with, y'all. The CDC, yes. They're enemies of the state. I'm talking about the state of Israel. The real Israelites, not the fake ones over there occupying the land right now. What time are you going to leave out?
15.
So let's get the last one, y'all. Let's get the last article. Uh-oh. I didn't want to do that. So I don't know if y'all are aware about the droughts that are going on, and the rainfall that's going on. I know Dallas, man. Dallas got hit over the weekend, and San Antonio even got a little bit of that rain. But because of the drought, this stuff right here is going on. Read this.
Reported by CNN. Dinosaur tracks from 113 million years ago uncovered due to severe drought conditions at Dinosaur Valley State Park.
So, are they talking about, what did it say, 100 million?
113 million years.
The Earth's not even that old, y'all. But my point in bringing this article up is to show that dinosaurs are real, y'all. Burrito.
Dinosaur tracks from around 113 million years ago have been revealed at Dinosaur Valley State Park in Texas due to severe drought conditions that dried up a river, the park said Monday in a statement. Most tracks that have recently been uncovered and discovered at different parts of the river in the park belong to Acrocanthosaurus. This was a dinosaur that would stand as an adult about 15 feet tall and weighed close to 7 tons.
You know, Esau gives me how he put these hard-to-pronounce names on stuff. When the Most High gave them simple names, we're going to get to it in a second. But read on.
Park spokesperson Stephanie Salinas Garcia told CNN in an email, the other species that left tracks behind at the park in Glen Rose, Texas, was the Saurio Poseidon.
I am so glad you are here, Hasda, because I would be butchering the hell out of these names right here. Go ahead.
Which would be about 60 feet tall and weigh about 4 tons as an adult, Garcia added.
Now, so let's get Job chapter 40, y'all. So dinosaurs are real. In case you had any doubt in your mind, dinosaurs are real. I'm liking the fact that this drought is causing the world to see the wonders of the Most High, man. So let's go to Job chapter 40 and start at verse 15. And I guess I'll look it up since you're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
Job 40 and 15. Behold, now behemoth.
Who?
Behemoth.
Behemoth. All right, let's look behemoth up, in case we don't know what behemoth means. So behemoth, an animal, perhaps the hippopotamus mentioned in Job 40:15-24. Nah, that ain't it. Any creature or thing of monstrous size or power. Any creature of thing or thing of monstrous size and power. I like definition number two better. You got a definition for behemoth?
Yeah, something of monstrous size, power, or appearance.
Monstrous size, they ain't talking about no damn hippopotamus. Hippopotamus are huge. But Job chapter 40 and what we read in verse 15 ain't talking about no damn hippopotamus. And I'm proving. So a behemoth is what again?
Let me read that definition.
Yeah.
Something of monstrous size.
Monstrous size.
Power or appearance.
Power or appearance. Keep that in mind. Let's go back to Job 40 and 15.
Job 40 and 15. Behold now, behemoth, which I made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox.
He eats grass as an ox. So he's a vegetarian, like a lot of the dinosaurs were, right? Remember? Read.
Lo now, his strength is in his loins. And his force is in the navel of his belly.
And you know, all his strength is in his core. Read.
He moveth his tail like a cedar.
He moves tail like a what?
Like a cedar.
This ain't talking about no damn hippopotamus. Hippopotamus tail ain't that big. It says that this animal moves his tail like a cedar. It's talking about a cedar tree. Read.
The sinews of his stones are wrapped together.
The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. Read.
His bones are as strong pieces of brass.
His bones are like what?
As strong pieces of brass.
So you wonder how they were able to find dinosaur bones and reassemble them and put them in museums, because those bones are like brass. They're dead hard. This ain't talking about no hippopotamus. Read.
His bones are like bars of iron.
Read.
He is the chief of the ways of the Most High. He that made him.
It says he's the chief of the ways of the Most High. So when you look at this extraordinary beast, you should be thinking about who? The Most High, who created him. So if this beast is that power or that powerful and that humongous, then what power does the Most High possess that made him? Read.
He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him.
He can also kill him. The Most High can also take him out because he made him. Read.
Surely the mountains bring him forth food.
And where were the dinosaurs found at? In the wilderness, in the mountains. Read.
Where all the beasts of the field play.
Read.
He lieth under the shady trees in the covert of the reed and thin. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river.
He drink up a what?
A river.
Can't no hippopotamus drink a whole damn river, y'all. This is talking about dinosaurs. He drinking up a river, read.
And hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth.
Read.
He taketh it with his eyes. His nose pierceth through snares.
No. In Job, he's called Bohemian. Now, watch this, y'all. Let's go to 2 Ezra chapter 6. And we're going to start at verse 48.
2 Ezra chapter 6, verse 48. For the dumb water and without life brought forth living things.
Now, he called the water dumb. Now, remember, y'all, and Shaba did a show. I don't know if he went into creation, but water is an element also known as H2O on the element chart, right? What is it, one part hydrogen or two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen?
Mm-hmm.
That's an element. Elements create life. So when it says, for the dumb water and without life brought forth living things at the commandment of God, this is the elements that the Most High used in the very beginning to create people, to create animals. Once again, water being an element. Water can be used in as a liquid, a solid, or gas. Read.
For the dumb water and without life brought forth living things at the commandment of God, that all people might praise thy wondrous works.
Mm-hmm.
Then didst thou ordain two living creatures.
Two living creatures. Now, I know it says two, but remember the Most High, after he created creatures back in Genesis chapter, one, he said to be fruitful and multiply. So these two creatures were in abundance. Read.
Then didst thou ordain two living creatures, the one thou calledest Enoch.
Enoch. Now, in Job, verse 4, he was called Bohemoth, which is a large, monstrous beast. So now he's called Enoch. Read.
And the other Leviathan.
And he also made Leviathan. We're going to find out about Leviathan in a second, too. Read on.
And did separate the one from the other.
And he separated these two beasts. Read.
For the seventh part, namely where the water was gathered together, might not hold them both.
See? This is how big they were and how many of them they were. Read.
Unto Enoch thou gavest one part, which was dried up the third day.
Now, this is before the earth was split up. So once upon a time, it was one giant landmass. And it says that one part of it, hold up, or seven parts of it was dry and one was wet. Read.
Unto Enoch thou gavest one part, which was dried up the third day.
I'm sorry, one part was dried up. Read.
That he should dwell in the same part wherein are 1,000 hills.
Read.
But unto Leviathan thou gavest the seventh part, namely the moist.
Namely the moist. So he was going to be in the oceans, in the waters. Y'all ever hear the Loch Ness Monster? That's Leviathan. Hell, Leviathan also is Godzilla. Read.
And hast kept him to be devoured of whom thou wilt and when.
So he kept him to be the vow of who he will and when. And it tells you in Isaiah that the Most High is going to deal with Leviathan in the last days. We ain't going to get it for time constraint. So So let's get Job chapter 41 and start at verse 1. So the movies are not original, y'all. They get the story of the dinosaurs and the story of Godzilla from the Bible. Read this.
Job chapter 41, verse 1. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook?
It's a question. Can you draw him out with a hook? Read.
Or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down?
Read.
Canst thou put a hook into his nose or bore his jaw through with a thorn?
He's asking questions. Can you do this to this beast?
Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee?
Now, hold on. Let's get to the point. Jump down to verse 19.
Job 41:19. Out of his mouth go burning lamps.
You're still talking about Leviathan. So out of his mouth go burning lamps. Fire, read.
And sparks of fire leap out.
Who does this sound like? The movie, you know, is Godzilla. Read.
Out of his nostrils goeth smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron.
Mm-hmm.
His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth.
Read on.
In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him.
Mm-hmm.
The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as a stone, yea, as hard as a piece of nether millstone.
When he, down verse 26.
Verse 26. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold.
You can't use a sword to defeat, to kill Leviathan, read.
The spear, the dart, nor the habergeon. He esteemeth iron as straw.
He breaks iron or esteems it, looks at it like it's straw. This beast is that powerful. Read.
And brass as rotten wood.
He break brass like it's wood. This ain't talking about no ordinary animal. These are the dinosaurs, y'all. Read.
The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble.
He turns slings into stubble. Read.
He laugheth at the shaking of a spear.
He laughs at a spear. These are talking about the dinosaurs, which were humongous beasts, y'all. They died in the flood. That's why they ain't here no more. Picking up their remains out of this dried river in Texas. The Most High's works are being revealed. Read.
Verse 30. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things upon the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot.
He makes the deep or the waters to boil like a pot. Y'all remember in the movie Godzilla, right before Godzilla came up out of the water, what would the water be doing? It would be boiling like a damn pot before he came up. And then he'll come up and blow that fire out of his mouth. Tell you, man, Esau ain't original, read.
He maketh the sea like a boil. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth, there is not his like who is made without fear.
So there's nothing like him on the face of the earth. Now, remember, all the dinosaurs that were land dinosaurs died in the flood. But Leviathan was made for the water, which means what? Still exists. Y'all have to go and do some research about the so-called Loch Ness Monster. That's talking about Leviathan. So I just wanted to cover that article, man, because it struck me how the Most High is making, opening people's eyes to his works. Because I covered this several times, but talking about the UFOs or the chariots of God. All the works of the Most High being manifest, y'all. All you got to do is open your eyes and see, man. Go to the Bible and read. It's all there. It's all right here in the Bible. All right, y'all. So I'm going to transition over. I think Hasadah is about to get out of here. I'm going to transition over to the class, Let's Stay Together, Fornication. And this is, what is it, part four, Mashaba? Yeah, part five, the wonderful hooking with the broadcast, sir. So last week, we were dealing with fornication. I guess we got to do just a small recap. So let's get Matthew 5:32.
Matthew 5:32. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication.
So Christ said, the only way you could get a divorce, when he says put away, he's talking about divorce, y'all. The only way you can divorce your wife. And remember, what was the proper way to get a divorce from your wife? You had to get what's called a get, which is actually a piece of paper that said that you and this woman was divorced for whatever reason. So that's the proper way. You couldn't just put her out and say, hey, I ain't messing with you no more. You couldn't just ghost, because if you ghost or she left or whatever, if y'all didn't have that piece of paper, the divorce paper that Moses talks about, in Deuteronomy chapter, 21? If she didn't have that, technically, y'all were still married. So this is what Christ is talking about. Read it again.
But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication.
So you couldn't get divorced. The only way you could get divorced from your wife was fornication. Previously, Moses said that you could put her away if you found some uncleanness in her. And we went over this last week how the uncleanness was talking about a genital odor and basically whatever you deem to be immoral or something you didn't like about your wife. Long story short, you can put your wife away for something that was very frivolous, something that was very simple. You could put your wife away for that. But Christ said Moses gave that commandment for the hardness of our hearts, because we was just hard on women, hard on people in general, just hateful people. We still are. So Christ had to come back and say, no, man, you're just going to put your wife away for any old reason. The only way you could get divorced from your wife, the only way you can get that paper card to get is for fornication. Read it again from the top.
But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery.
You cause her to commit adultery. If you put her away, get divorced from her for any other reason than fornication. So this is what he's saying. Now. So let's go and get the definition for fornication again. And this is just a recap. Page 375 out of the Catholic Encyclopedia. Read this for me.
From the Catholic Biblical Encyclopedia, page 375, fornication. Illicit sexual intercourse, concubinage, prostitution. The vice of sexual immorality was quite common throughout the Near East and Egypt. Genesis 39:7.
It said that this fornication was quite common in Egypt, in Africa, and the Far East. Read.
In ancient times. Religious prostitution, widely practiced at pagan shrines, was strictly forbidden by the Mosaic law.
So the temple prostitutes, I went into that when I did the series on dealing with the Corinthians. Read.
Deuteronomy 23:17. The Hebrews resorted to this perversion when they fell away from Yahweh and worshiped foreign deities as Baal and Astarte.
So we fell away when we worship these other gods, we start adopting these practices, this fornication. All right? Now let's get Leviticus Was there more to that? Mm-hmm. Read the rest of it.
The sanctuary of Jerusalem was desecrated by such immoral rites during the reign of Manasseh and Amon. Because of its unfaithfulness to Yahweh, the chosen nation was represented as a harlot or adulteress by the prophet.
No, we don't need no more of that. And when it says Yahweh, I was talking about, we know it's pronounced properly in Hebrew, the Paleo-Hebrew, Yahweh. All right, so let's get what fornication is. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 18. Now, we had started on this last week, but then we had got a question, so we had to take a detour. But we're going to Leviticus chapter 18. We're going to start at verse 1.
Leviticus 18 and 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Mm-hmm. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances.
When he says the land of Egypt, Egypt is in Africa. When he says Canaan, I believe, is South Africa, I think it is. But it's still talking about African nations or African people. And this is how this is one way to prove that the so-called black, Hispanic, Native American men are not, in particular, I'm going to say just black men, just so everybody could stay in the frame of mind that we loosely refer to each other. And I'm talking about the tribe of Judah. But the tribe of Judah, so-called blacks, often like to say that they're Africans, right? Well, this is proof that we're not Africans, y'all. There's a difference between us and the African. The only thing we share in common with those people are our skin color. That's it. But the Most High is telling us not to do what these Africans was doing. Read on.
Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein.
Mm-hmm.
I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them.
Mm-hmm.
I am the Lord.
Read.
None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness.
If you're uncovering somebody's nakedness, then that means y'all about to do the do. That's the only way you're going to see somebody naked. Read.
I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother thou shalt not uncover.
You can't have sex with your father. Don't have sex with your mama. So who was doing this? The Africans was doing this. Read.
She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness.
Read.
The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover.
Your dad had another woman. You couldn't sleep with his woman. Remember, that's what Reuben did to his father Jacob. He slept with his daddy's other woman. Read.
It is thy father's nakedness.
Mm-hmm.
The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father.
He said, so you can't sleep with your sister. The daughter of your father. So even if she got, if y'all got different mothers, but the same father, you couldn't sleep with her. I know the world likes to say, oh, that's my stepsister. No, that's your whole sister, because they'll say either step or half sister. No, that's your whole sister, because y'all both came from that man. Read.
The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father or daughter of thy mother.
And let's say, when your father got with this woman, she had a daughter. That's your stepsister. I'm sorry, let me say this more correctly. So, read that part again.
The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father or daughter of thy mother.
The daughter of your father or the daughter of your mother. Meaning that y'all didn't have the same father, but y'all shared the same mother. This would be your half-sister. You couldn't sleep with her.
Whether she be born at home or born abroad.
Read on.
Even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover.
Read.
Verse 10. The nakedness of thy son's daughter or thy daughter's daughter.
The nakedness of your son, that would be your granddaughter. You can't sleep with your granddaughter. And I know the tribe of Issachar, so-called Mexican, man, they be having this bad. You see grown men having little kids sit on their lap. Oh, my granddaughter, Miha, got this bad, man. And not just the tribe of Issachar, man, incest runs rampant all throughout our communities, so-called black and brown people. But this is fornication. So this would be a reason for you to divorce your woman, because she was doing these things. This is what Christ was talking about. This is a form of fornication. Yeah.
Or of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness shalt thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness.
Yeah. Meaning, like the scripture says, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. This is your blood. This is your relative, dude. You can't do that. That's nasty. And it's against God's laws. How many of us are traumatized now, man, from because we got molested by our uncle or auntie? And then the fake churches want to tell us the law's done away with. Guess what we're reading right now? This is a law. So you wonder why incest is still running rampant? Because this is not being taught in churches. They said, oh, that's the Old Testament done away with. Law's done away with. And look how our people are suffering behind it. Well, read on.
Verse 11. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness.
Read.
Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman.
Don't sleep with your auntie. Read.
Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman.
Your auntie on your mama's side. Read.
Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother.
Don't sleep with your uncle. Read.
Thou shalt not approach to his wife.
And don't get with your auntie.
She is thine aunt.
See? Read.
Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law.
Your daughter-in-law. You can't get with her. That's your son's wife. Read.
She is thy son's wife.
Read on.
Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness.
Now, we read in this, and a lot of people might say, well, man, that's common sense. Kyle said all the time, man, common sense ain't common. If we're reading something that we were told not to do, guess what? We was doing it. So, no, it ain't common sense. Read.
Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness.
Don't sleep with your brother woman. Read on.
Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter.
So, you can't have them both? You can't bang the mama and the daughter out? Player? You think you're on some level? Well, the scripture says you can't do that.
Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswomen. It is wickedness.
It's what?
Wickedness.
No, but I'm a player. That's how I do. I'm running through them. Look at my body count. It said that this is wickedness, y'all. So everything we're reading is forms of fornication. Read on.
Verse 18. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her.
You can't be boning your wife's sister. Did y'all know that? Read.
To uncover her nakedness besides the other in her lifetime.
While she's still alive. If your wife died, then you could do it with her sister. But while she's alive, you can't do it. Read.
Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness.
Her uncleanness would be her issue, her administration, her period. You're not supposed to be dealing with your woman while she on her rag. That's nasty. That Kevin Gates nonsense, talking about he had, let me try to put this PG-13. He went down on her while she was on her rag. Now he got pink diamonds. Nastiness. Wickedness. Read.
Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her.
That's adultery. So that's the form of fornication also. Read.
And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech.
Yes, once upon a time we were burning kids. This is actually saying what it's saying. Don't do that. This is a form of fornication. This is a spiritual fornication, which we're going to get into in a second. Read.
Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind.
You can't be a homosexual, y'all. That's fornication also. Read on.
Go ahead. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith.
Bestiality, you can't do it. Read.
Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion.
Most I say it's confusion. This is all these, we read forms of fornication, y'all. I'll read verse 24 because I've got to go. It says, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. For in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. So everything we just read, y'all, from verse 1 all the way down, is fornication. Forms of fornication. So incest is fornication. Homosexuality is fornication. Bestiality is fornication. All these are forms of fornication. I hope everybody gets that. So when Yahweh Shah says, and let's go back there, just to edify, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 32. Matthew 5 and 32 says, but I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication. So what's the only way you can put her away? Fornication. It says, causing her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committed adultery. And that divorce there is putting her away. Well, I went over that in the last class. So a woman can get divorced and remarry. That's in the Mosaic law. Christ was upholding that also, but Christ was coming back and telling us the only way you can get divorced from your woman is if she committed fornication. And I just went over what fornication is. Now, I said this earlier, and it's mentioned in verse 24 of Leviticus chapter 18 about burning kids and putting them through the fire to offer up sacrifice for Molech. That's a form of spiritual fornication. So there is a physical fornication, and there is a spiritual fornication. So let's get into that right now. So we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 23, y'all. Second Kings chapter 23, we're going to start at verse 7. And it reads, and he break down the houses of the Sodomites. So this is talking about, which king was this? Come on, Charlie Pye. Hold on, y'all. I'm trying to figure out who king, what king this was. Josiah. So this is Josiah. And let me see. We're in 2 Kings 23 and verse 7. And he break down the houses of the Sodomites. So King Josiah, he broke down all these houses of the Sodomites. Sodomites is dealing with homosexuality, y'all. So we had fag and dyke houses, orgy houses, I guess you would call them. He tore those houses down. It says, let me read it again. And he break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord. Ain't there something? They were right by the Most High's house, by the temple, where the women wove hanging for the grove. Let me see. All right. So let's get what he's talking about. The women were wolf hangings for the grove. So remember, the groves were where you would go and sacrifice and worship these other deities other than the Most High. So let's get, let me see if I still have it, Encyclopedia Britannica, and it's talking about Baal. Yeah, here we go. Man, I thought I had that. My bag, y'all. So Baal was the fertility goddess, y'all, and that's who these sodomites were offering up to. It says Baal god worshipped in many ancient Middle Eastern communities, especially among the Canaanites. Remember who the Canaanites is, y'all? The Africans. So he was very popular among the Africans. It says who apparently considered him a fertility deity and one of the most important gods in the pantheon. As a Semitic common noun, Baal, Hebrew, Baal meant owner or lord. Although it could be used more generally, for example, a Baal of wings was a winged creature, and in the plural, Baal, of Baal of Balaam of arrows. Hold up. Let me get to the point. He was also called the Lord of Rain and Dew, the two forms of moisture that were indispensable for fertile soil in Canaan. So Baal was a fertility goddess. He was also worshipped for crops, for bringing forth crops and things of that nature. So we was doing this, y'all, and this is what Josiah, he tore down these houses of the Sodomites where they used to actually worship Baal Peor, man, which means Lord or Master. And the Peor part means opening. So he was known as the Lord of Opening. So use your imagination with that one, Lord of Openings. So this is what we was doing. But that's a form of spiritual fornication. All right? And that's why we came here, and that's why I'm going through all of this, to show examples of spiritual fornication. So let's go to 1 Kings chapter 16 now. So if your wife was doing this, if your wife is a sodomite, which is a form of fornication, so let's say one day you come home and you got that Drew Hill video going on, sleeping in my bed, and you catch your woman in bed with another woman. That is grounds for divorce based off of what? Her fornication. Because remember, that's the only reason Christ says you can get divorced for, right? That would be a physical fornication. Or let's say you came home and your wife had a shrine with God all around it, and she was just chanting, doing that ring-a-ring-a-ring-a-ring-a-ring and all that crap. That would be grounds for divorce because that, according to the Bible, spiritual fornication. Spiritual, also known as spiritual adultery. And because remember, the Most High said we should have no other gods before him. So now let's get... where are we going? 1 Kings chapter 16 and 30. All right, y'all. So it says, and Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took the wife, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshiped him. So this cat, Ahab, went and married a nation, because the Zidonians were the Africans. So he married this chick called Jezebel, who was the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians. So he married an African. Israelite married an African, which the Most High forbid us to do, to marry other nations. But then he married her, and he starts serving her god. Her god is Baal. We just read about Baal, right? Let me see. Let me read off. Verse 32. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. So he even built up a house to worship Baal for his woman, Jezebel. And I'll be seeing people, man, people tell how you tell people don't read the Bible. When you see people, they be naming their kids stuff like Jezebel and Esau and other names, other characters in the Bible that are not well-favored, not well-thought-of, did terrible things. You're like, man, you don't read the Bible at all, do you? But Jezebel, we're going to get into Jezebel. Let's get Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20. Because Christ also talked about Jezebel. Now, remember, Jezebel, you read about her back in Kings, which we're going to go into detail and read about her. But I wanted to bring this out, man, to show that Jezebel is not just a person, but Jezebel is also a spirit. There's a spirit that a woman can have on her, and that's the spirit of Jezebel. So Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, and this is Christ speaking. He says, notwithstanding that I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, remember, you read about Jezebel way back in the book of Kings, man. So this woman was dead and gone. So what had must have been there? Either was another woman named Jezebel, or it was that same spirit of Jezebel. Now, it said that this woman was calling herself a prophetess, meaning she called herself a teacher. It says to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication. What type of fornication? It says, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. The fornication is idolatry, y'all. Idolatry. So this woman that was in either in the spirit of Jezebel or had the same name of Jezebel and was in the spirit of Jezebel, was causing people to commit fornication by way of idolatry, serving other gods. I want us to understand this. And it says he was teaching people to do this. This is the spirit of Jezebel. And according to Christ, this spirit is grounds for divorce, because this is also known as spiritual fornication. I hope everybody with me. All right, so let's get 1 Timothy. Chapter 2. And remember, in Revelations, it said, what was this lady doing? She was teaching the service of God to eat things that were sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. That's the spiritual fornication. So 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, but I suffer, not a woman. What was Jezebel doing we just read in Revelation? Teaching. She was teaching idolatry. It says, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Well, you like, well, Tyler Pye, it don't say nothing about this woman in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, teaching idolatry. No, it don't. But it talks about her teaching and usurping authority over a man. Her usurping authority over man is she's basically telling the man what to do. She's controlling the man. She's controlling her man. This is spiritual fornication, y'all. Let me show you. Let me show you. So let's get the spirit Jezebel was rolling in, y'all. So let's go back to 1 Kings. Let me show you. So you don't think I'm just making this up. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 18. First Kings 18 and let me start at verse 17. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Now remember, Elijah was a prophet of the Most High. And Ahab was his king. He said he was that the prophet of the Most High, Elijah, was troubling Israel. Why would he say that? Let's read on. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, is what Elijah said, but thou and thy father's house, because his father was an idolater too. It says, in that ye have forsaken the commandment of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. And it's talking still once again about Baal, the same God that he was serving and sacrificing to. But remember, Ahab said that he was troubling Israel. Why was he troubling Israel? Because he was pointing this out, that he was causing Israel to serve and worship other gods. Now, let's find out why he was causing Israel to serve and worship other gods. 19. Now, therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400. Now, listen to this. Which eat at Jezebel's table. So, these men of Israel, who did they belong to? Who were they up under? Jezebel. It was her table. Who was her husband serving? He was serving her. That's why, remember, he built the grove for her and her God, her deity. He was under the spell of this woman. His woman was wrapped all up into a spiritual fornication, idolatry, y'all. And she was running her man. That's the spirit of Jezebel. So when I read in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over man, but to be in silence. If you're a woman, if you're a wife that has a husband, and you running your husband, or if you're a woman in general, and you want to out-talk a man, you want to teach a man, tell a man what to do, run a man, you're operating in the spirit of Jezebel. That's spiritual fornication, y'all. Your man can divorce you for that. I don't know if y'all knew that. But let's get some more. Let's get some more history on Jezebel. So you don't think, oh, probably you making stuff up. No, I ain't. 1 Kings chapter 21. And we're going to start at verse 5. So 1 Kings chapter 21. And where we at? Verse 5. Man, you just don't realize how much you appreciate a reader till you don't have one. Anyway, but Jezebel, his wife, talking about Ahab, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad? Matter of fact, I got to read up. I'm sorry, y'all. Let's start at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that Nebat the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace Ahab, king of Samaria. So this brother, Naboth, he had a vineyard that was by King Ahab's palace. Verse 2. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. So Ahab the king told Naboth, man, give me that vineyard. He says, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem it good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Like, I'll pay you for it. Now listen to this, verse 3. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my father unto thee. He's like, nah, man, this belonged to my father, and my father handed it down to me, and I'm going to hand it down to the next generation. It's going to stay in the family. So this was essentially a family heirloom or a family inheritance he wanted to keep in the family. But this king, because it's close to his crib, and he just wanted it because he's the king, he's like, nah, let me get that from you. And verse 4, and Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. So this dude went into a damn depression. He was depressed and feeling some kind of way because this brother, this honest brother who wanted to keep his inheritance in the family, wouldn't give him his land. He wouldn't give him his land, so this dude was depressed about it. Now listen to this, y'all. Verse 5. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? So she coming off, she's a concerned wife. Husband, what's wrong with you? Eat some, baby. Verse 6. And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? So she's like, hey, babe, ain't you the king? Now listen to this. Arise and eat bread, and let thy heart be merry. Get up and eat some, babe. I made you some. Eat. You don't need your strength. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. She said, I'm going to get that vineyard for you, baby. This man, if this ain't the baby boy syndrome, you crying, acting like a little. Let me play that.
All right. You're going to learn today.
You know what, nigga? You act like a little bitch right now. You act real paranoid and shit.
Naboth was acting like a what?
And you know what, nigga? You act like a little bitch right now. You act real paranoid and shit.
He all feeling some kind of way. He depressed, and he need his wife, his mama wife, to come cheer him up and tell him what to do. She say, nah, I'm going to get that vineyard for you. Now listen to this, y'all. And this is how you tell she ain't no righteous woman, because what the brother who owned the vineyard was doing was being righteous. He was doing what was right for his family and for his lineage and his heritage. But this woman like, nah, I'm going to get this for my man. Verse 7. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou now govern Israel? Govern the kingdom of Israel, arise and eat bread and let thy heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelites. So she wrote letters, Ahab's name. In who name? In her, she wrote letters in her husband's name. Is this or is this not usurping authority? And sealed them with his seal. Now remember, he got her permission. He's not going to object to none of this. And sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling in Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people. And set two men, sons of Belial, before him, to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king. So she set him up, sent these fake witnesses to say that he was talking noise about the king and about the Most High, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. She set this innocent man up to be killed, y'all, just so her little punk husband could have some land he was crying over. Verse 11. And remember, I already read it, that whose prophets were these? They sat at Jezebel's table. They were her prophets. She was running things. She was running her husband. Hope everybody seeing this. And then carry him out and stone him that he might die. Verse 11. And the men of the city, even the elders of the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them. See how she had all these niggas in order? All these men was listening to this woman. And mind you, she was even from another nation. They listening to her. And as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them, they proclaimed a fast and sent Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witness against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. And then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. Verse 15. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. So she told, get up, baby, go get your land now. Go get your stuff, babe. Verse 16. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. He ain't saying, nah, babe, what you done did? You done killed that innocent man? Nah, you tripping. He ain't checking. He ain't do nothing. She was running the show. She was wearing the pants. Verse 17. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise and go now to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, or Naboth, whether he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus said the Lord, listen to this, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus said the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. Like, dude, you gonna die the way he died. Why was the Most High stinging this dude? First of all, idolatry. And what led him to this idolatry? Him following his woman. Him letting his woman usurp authority over him. This is spiritual fornication, y'all. I hope everybody's with me and everybody's seeing this. Let's get Ecclesiastes chapter 25 and verse 21. Now, why am I doing all this? Y'all remember, Christ said the only way you can get a divorce was what? If your woman committed fornication. And I've been going over, I went over already, a physical fornication. Now we're dealing with spiritual fornication. Form of a spiritual fornication is your woman trying to usurp authority and tell you what to do. Her having control of you, ordering you around, bossing you around. You know, in the world, they say, happy life, happy wife. Where they get that nonsense from? That ain't biblical. Or you hear stories about brothers work 80 hours, 90-hour jobs every 2 weeks, and they get their paycheck only to bring it home to their wife, bring it to mama. And then she give them what she wants them to have out of their own paycheck. What nonsense is that? That's fornication, brother. If you letting your woman run you, because she's supposed to be serving you. And she's supposed to be serving you because you serve the Most High. All right, so let's get this. Ecclesiastes 25, verse 21. Stumble not at the beauty of a woman and desire her not for pleasure. And this be the problem, man. We be so caught up in the booty, it don't even be the beauty. Because most of these women be busted. Be busted anyway. What was Kevin Samuels when he was going at them and he was telling the truth, telling women the truth about themselves? He said, rate yourself on a scale from 1 to 10. And he would always get them and say, don't say you were 7. Because you know how they be. They want to get as close to 10 as possible, but they don't want to make it seem like they arrogant. So they say 7. He said, don't say a 7 either. But this is what we be doing, men, putting them on damn pedestals when they don't even be 10. They don't even be a dime. They be like 5, 4.5, busted as hell, raggly. I mean, they ain't even pretty. And you got them running you, telling you what to do. Read this again, man. Ecclesiastes chapter 25, verse 21. Stumble not at the beauty of a woman and desire her not for pleasure. You so caught up in the booty, trying to get your toes curled, that you just won't stand up and be a man and run your household. Now listen to this. A woman, if she maintain her husband, is full of anger. Why does it say if this woman's maintaining her husband? What does it mean for a woman to maintain her husband? She's making all the decisions. She's sitting down paying all the bills. She's making all the tough decisions that pertains to the house, the family, all that. If you got your woman doing all of this, she is going to be angry because she was not designed to do all of this work. You were. That's why the Most High gave her to you. Remember, it tells you in Timothy, it says if a man know not how to rule his own house, how can he rule the house of the Most High? She's your practice. The house is your practice arena for you to gain the experience so when you do get a congregation, you don't know how to run that congregation because you had training where? In the household. Even the scriptures tell you that piety starts at home, but if you got your woman making all the tough decisions, and you just chilling, you ain't doing nothing, and now you mad at her because she's trying to usurp authority over you. You set that up, though. You've been letting her roll and do the hell she want all this time. Now you try to put your foot down, and now she's jumping bad, and you surprised. No, because you let it go on for too damn long. You caught up in the booty, thinking she ain't going to give me none. And? You know women outnumber us, right? What, man, I'm going to take a line from Willie D. He said, one hoe don't stop no show. Excuse my French, man, but I got to go there. Because brothers be so caught up in a woman in the booty that all logic, all piety towards the Most High just go out the window. Anyway. A woman, if she maintains her husband, is full of anger. Impotence, meaning she's bold. And much reproach, much shame. But you created this monster because you letting her roll like this. But this is a form of spiritual fornication. Reading on, verse 23. A wicked woman abated the carriage, naked and heavy continence and a wounded heart. So this woman that's bold as hell, that's running the show, is going to make have your mind, because the heart's talking about the mind, going to have your mind wounded. You, oh, I'm just stressed out, man. This damn woman. This damn woman. Every time I hear from this woman, man, my real eye. A woman that will not comfort her husband in distress, make it weak hands and feeble knees. What's the job of a woman? She's supposed to be a pillow of rest. She's supposed to be a comfort. But when you don't comfort your husband, you make him weak. I said this before, you got to go out and fight in the world. Now you got to come home and fight with your ass too? Excuse my French, y'all. Verse 24. Of the woman came the beginning of sin. I don't know how we'd be forgetting this one. But why did the woman orchestrate sin? Because Adam listened to it. This was talking about in the beginning. Adam listened to his woman. And what was Adam's crime? How did he get kicked out of the garden, y'all? Idolatry. That's what happened, y'all. He started idolizing this woman, listening to her. Just like we read about Ahab with Jezebel. Same thing. Same thing happened to who? Solomon. When they should have did what? Gave them their walking papers. What verse was I in? It says of the verse 24, of the woman came the beginning of sin, and through her we all die. Give the water no passage, neither a wicked woman liberty to gad about. Meaning, if that woman is off, she ain't listening to you, man, don't let her just roam around and do what she want to do. The scriptures tell us that a child left to himself will become willful. How much more is a woman left to herself going to become willful? Going to push her own will, her own way of doing things. Verse 26. Now, this part I want to get to. If she go not as thou wouldst have her go, or have her, it says, cut her off from thy flesh and give her a bill of divorce and let her go. So, cause I ain't making stuff up. Can you get divorced from your woman if she's committing spiritual fornication, which is what? Not listening to you, not locking in, not wanting to get in order. I mean, think about it, man. What sense does it make? You sit up here fighting and fussing with this woman the whole time. You can't get nothing done. You can't get nothing done, man. You can't build with this woman. So all she becomes now is a concubine. And we all know what they good for. I mean, but that gets old, especially when you got to fight with the damn concubine. The concubine is supposed to be there for pleasure, but when you got to fight with the concubine, she ain't no good to you, not even as a concubine. That's crazy. But it happens. Oh, it happens. Let's get Ecclesiastes 26 and 14. It says, a silent and loving woman is a gift of the Lord. So if you got a woman, what makes her silent? She ain't arguing with you all the damn time. She ain't trying to push her way. She ain't trying to get her way. Then the Most High truly blessed you with that woman. That's something that you didn't go out looking for, you got on your own. That's something the Most High sent to you. If you have a solid and loving woman, a woman that agrees with you, a woman that locks in to what you got going on, a woman that's supportive, because remember I asked that question at the beginning before I even started. Why do black women not support their men? I'm still taking answers to that too, y'all. Feel free. Verse 14 again. A silent and loving woman is a gift of the Lord, and there is nothing so much worth as a mind well instructed. You got to ask yourself this, man. Can your woman be instructed? Can she follow your instructions? Can she follow instructions in general? Because that be the issue that a lot of husbands be running to, man. They just don't follow instructions well. And the reason being is because of who the instructions is coming from. Y'all really don't understand that your husband is your guide. He's looking out for your well-doing. He's looking out for your spirit. Yes, he's replacing your father. He's all of that. A lot of women got daddy issues because they daddies quit on them. They daddies let them do what the hell they wanted to do, let them run their mouth, and that's how they got their way. Sisters, I want y'all to understand that y'all are psychologically traumatized behind that. That's not a good thing. That is not a good thing. Brothers, if you let your woman roll this way, then you ain't going to have no peace in your crib. You ain't going to get the Most High's favor because you're essentially committing idolatry because you're idolizing this woman because you're letting her just run your crib, and we know that the Most High has set things up that way. Let's read Ecclesiastes 7 and 26. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 26. Hast thou a wife after thy mind? Forsake her not, but give not thyself over to a light woman. Does your woman think like you? Does she have your best interest in mind? Is she supportive of what you're trying to get done? Because remember, she's your help. You ain't her help. But when she's looking at it like you her help, like she's got to control you and tell you what to do. Spiritual fornication. Those are grounds for divorce, y'all. I'll just put it out there, man. Remember, that's what Christ said. You cannot divorce your wife except for fornication. That being a physical fornication or a spiritual fornication. That's my time, y'all. I just heard the mark. I'm definitely going to continue this segment of fornication. I ain't done. Because I'm going to go into relationship issues as far as marriages that people are trying to get out of, that people are unhappy in. I'm going to go into all that. Those are the questions I'll be getting. And they need to be addressed so people can get some understanding out of this. But the water for everybody. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Hope everybody has a good day, a good week. The water, Michelle, for hooking up the broadcast. And until next time, y'all, tell a friend. To tell a friend to please tune in to Thoughts of Power Tuesdays, Thoughts of Power Tuesdays, Thoughts of Power Tuesdays, every Tuesday. With that, y'all, I'm going to say shalom.